Amen, amen. It's good to hear from Mike, and grateful for his story. He's got a lot of different stories of how God has been faithful to provide, so it's encouraging to hear. So, well, good morning to you. Great to see you again. If you are a guest here with us, pray that you would stick six with us. Say that all the time, stick 6 weeks. Let us get to know you, and then you get to know us as a church, see if this might be where God desires for you to be. But one thing you'll find out real quick is that we are a church that's about the Word, so you're going to need a copy of God's Word, and if you don't have one, we'd love to give you one as a gift. We have some out in the Welcome Center you can grab on your way out, just a way to say, man, we just want to bless you. This is what leads us and guides us. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. If you're new to the Bible, let me say this too. When we talk about the Bible, it is one unified story made up of 66 books. Luke is one of those books. And we say Luke chapter 12, the chapter is the large number that you'll find in there, and the small numbers are the verses. We're going to be in Luke 12, picking up in verse 22. We're actually picking up where we left off last week. We were in Luke 12 last week also, and we ended in verse 21, so we're just going to start right back where we left last week. Now, this is our third week on this series of growing in what we believe, specifically about money. This whole fall, we've been growing in what we believe in a number of different ways, but this is specifically about money over the last few weeks. And what's interesting, let me kind of recap, if you are new or you're not familiar with where we've been or you've just kind of forgotten. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the Word of God where it talked about that God is the owner of everything. It's all His. And then it says that we are just stewards of what God's given us, specifically around finances. Haggai 2:8 says that all the silver and all the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. It's all His. We're just stewarding what God has given us. And so we spent some time understanding that reality of our finances. Then this last week, we looked at this whole idea of generosity, where there's a warning that Jesus gives for us to take care and to be on our guard against all forms of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And Jesus called out both the saver and the spender last week and challenged us at the end in verse 21 to be rich towards God, or to rather be generous. Now, with these two truths, speaking of money on our hearts, right? These two truths of God owns it all, and that we should be generous, Jesus knows what our hearts are going to do in response to those two truths. He knows that when we talk about money, many of us, we get tight real quick, okay? We get worried, we get anxious, we get fearful, and Jesus knows that. So what Jesus is going to do out of these two truths is this passage, he's going to tell us, don't worry. Do not be anxious. Because money tends to breed anxiety or anxiousness in our hearts. And it's to both extremes. When we realize these truths, some people are worried because we don't have a lot of money. And yet Jesus is calling us to be generous with it. And so we worry. For others of us, we have a lot of money, and we hear that Jesus called us to be generous and that it's all His, and we're thinking, no, we've accumulated all of this, it's ours, and we hear be rich towards God, and it creates anxiety in our hearts. And Jesus knows those fears, and so He says, do not worry. So join me in Luke 12, follow along as I read in verse 22. This is what Jesus said. He said to His disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on it. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, how they neither sow nor reap. They neither have a storehouse or a barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to his lifespan? If then you're not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear
not little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide for yourselves money bags that do not grow old, with treasure in heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer now. Lord, when it comes to our finances, we oftentimes worry. And so I pray this morning for those who are struggling with worry right now. God, I pray for those who can't sleep at night. I ask that you would help them to find rest as they trust in you. Lord, for those who are afraid of the future, would you help them to see your sovereignty and your power and your might today? Lord, would you be our refuge and our peace? Lord, allow us to be obedient to you and not to the fear that would arise in our hearts. Help us to hear, help us to understand, help us to apply your word today. Now pause and take a second to pray silently to the Lord that he would allow you to hear, understand, and to respond to God's word this morning. Would you pray and do that now? Lord, we thank you that you hear us when we pray. You even delight that we pray to you. You delight to answer. And so would you help our weary, worried-filled hearts to trust in you today. It's in Christ's name we ask. There's a lot of things in life that can take our concern or our thought. I mean, from a number of things, health to relationships. But there's a recent survey done that showed that the thing that we worry about as Americans more than anything else, the number one worry that we have as Americans revolves around money and possessions. Money and stuff are the things that we worry about. Now, what's interesting about that is if you could kind of rewind time or go back in time 100 years, people had far less than we had, and yet they are far less worried. I mean, if you could hop in your DeLorean and you go back in time to 1925 and just see the things that they had, we oftentimes think it was a simpler time. But in reality, it's not true. If you could imagine 100 years ago, the houses people had, most of them didn't have cars. The only car available at the time was a Model T, and very few people had them. They had no refrigerators, had no microwaves, they had no hair dryers. Almost nobody had running water or private bathrooms in their homes. I mean, let that settle in. This is just 100 years ago. The average family income in 1925 was $3,000 a year. Now adjust that for inflation, that would be equivalent to $30,000 in our time. That was the average annual income, $30,000. Most teenagers were not in school. They were working in the fields or working in factories. This is one thing that was sobering. You had many moms that were giving birth and passing. The mortality rate was roughly 10% at that time, that 1 out of 10 ladies would pass as they gave birth to a child. One of the things that consumed their worry and their thoughts 100 years ago was, please don't let me have a child in the wintertime because my child could get sick and pass. And just give a frame of reference, today it's less than 1% of moms pass while giving birth. You get to the 1930s and the 1940s, and you had things come on the scene, transfusions, antibiotics, all these things came around to help us have better health, that we weren't dying from the flu and things like that. And yet, in our wealth and our safety and our security, even those things have increased over the last 100 years, you know what else has increased over the last 100 years? Our worry. I mean, this would be unreal to people to go back 100 years and say, these are the houses that we have. This is the wealth that we have. This is the amount of money that we're making. This is the amount of health care that we have. For them to say, and you're worried? Why are you so anxious? And yet, whether it's today or 100 years ago or 2,000 years ago, the reality is we are always anxious over these things, and Jesus knows it. And Jesus knows it. And so what Jesus tells us is, do not be anxious. Some of you, even as I read the words of Christ today to you, you got tense. Because counselors will tell you, you don't tell people what to feel. You don't tell people how to feel. You don't do that. That's not what a counselor does. Jesus throws all that out the window, and he's like, nope, do not be anxious. Do not fear. He's going to tell us how to feel. Now, I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't just stop with just telling us how to feel. He tells us why we should feel that way. Why should we not worry? Why should we not be anxious? And what Jesus does in this passage is he's going to expand our view of our Heavenly Father. And as he expands our view of God, what he's going to do is hopefully breed peace in our hearts. Now, I'll say this from the very beginning. What I'm going to say over the next 20 minutes of time is specifically towards believers. And the reason why is because this is who Jesus is speaking to. In verse 22, it says he tells his disciples, or his disciples, those who are his followers. He's speaking to believers that they would know and understand who God is. And as they know and understand who God is, it would breed peace in their hearts. Now, at the same time, if you don't know Christ today, my challenge to you is that you would come to know him and that you would trust in him and that you would exchange your worry for faith in him. You would exchange your anxiety and your fear for forgiveness and freedom. Because Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus has come for us. He gave his life for us. And so this passage is targeted towards believers, but anybody who would come to Jesus can be saved. Anybody can come to Jesus and find this salvation, find this hope, find this peace that Jesus is going to share with us today. The first way that Jesus is going to expand our view of God is through highlighting his creation care. He's going to tell us to consider God's care for creation. Now, he uses this word consider twice in this passage, in verse 24 and again in verse 27. Consider. This word consider means to look, to ponder, to think on it, and to notice things. Don't rush past them. Don't move on. No, let your mind settle. To settle on these truths, to see what Jesus is communicating about the Creator, about God's creation. And as we pause and we consider these things, this is where peace is going to be found. First, he says, consider the birds. You see in verse 24, it says ravens. Those of you know that know your Bible well, in Matthew, he talks about sparrows. These are two separate teachings that Jesus is doing. One is the Sermon on the Mount, and this one's most likely the Sermon on the Plain. And as Jesus is teaching, he's saying the same thing to a different crowd of people. You know why? Because we need to hear this truth. Jesus knows that we are tended to worry or to be anxious, that we kind of drift that way. And so Jesus shared the same illustration multiple times. And yet this time, instead of highlighting the sparrows, he highlights the ravens. And I don't know if that's because of the setting. Maybe the first time Sermon on the Mount, there were sparrows, and he kind of points them out. Like, look at these sparrows. And here he highlights the ravens. But either way, the truth is the same. He's wanting us to consider. He's wanting us to pause and to think about the birds. As we think, I mean, have you ever seen a bird building a barn to store up its berries? Have you ever seen a bird grocery store, the fairy feather teeter, right? You ever seen that? No, we don't see that. The trader crows. We don't see these things out there, right? Why? Because God provides for them each and every day. Whenever we see a bird pecking at the ground and getting seed, it should remind us of God's faithfulness, that he's worthy to be trusted in because he provides for that bird day in and day out. He's telling us that he's trustworthy through his creation. Now, he's not saying that birds don't work hard. You've never seen a bird sitting on a branch with its mouth open just waiting for a worm to drop in its mouth, right? No, the early bird gets the worm. They work hard, but it's God who provides for that bird as he works. As we hear birds singing and chirping, it should remind us of God's faithfulness to care for his creation. And God in his goodness has woven his faithfulness throughout creation to help us and our anxious hearts. I mean, again, ponder, think about this. Think about this for a second. If the President of the United States gave you the job to care for all the animals in the United States, so you need to feed them to make sure they're cared for each and every day, we would respond and be like, that's crazy. We can't take care of all the animals in North America. Like, that's too big of a job. Okay, well, let's take it to a lower level. Let's just do the state of North Carolina. You'd be like, that's still too much. Like, for us to try to put some kind of manpower in place to care for the animals across our state would be too much. Okay, well, let's boil it down even a little smaller. Let's just say Charlotte in the greater Charlotte area. Somebody came to you and like, we want you to care for and feed all the animals, all the deer and all the squirrels and all the birds and all these things here in the Charlotte area. I mean, this would be ridiculous amount of work. Ridiculous. I mean, you would say, okay, let's get a schedule together. We'll get the deer here at 6 a.m. We'll get the squirrels followed up behind at 9. We'll get the birds here about lunchtime, you know? Even if we could do all of that, we would probably run out of resources and manpower before we could get it all done. And yet consider that God does that each and every day. Not just for Charlotte, not just for North Carolina, not even for our country. He does it for all of the world every single day. This is what Jesus is trying to get us to consider. This is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. He tells us in verse 24 that we are more valuable than the birds. If God cares in this way for the birds, how much more will he care for you? How much more? And he's challenging us, saying basically, do you not have more faith than a bird? Do you not have more faith that God will care for you more than he will a bird? Do you believe that God cares in that way? And does it display in the way you care for your money? Does it reflect that trust in the Lord? He also says in here to consider your life in verse 25. Consider your life. And what he's doing right here is he's showing that we don't have the power and the might that we think we do. We can't extend our life by 1 minute or 1 hour or 1 day. We can't do that. We can't. But God is in control of all of that. But this is what money does. Money is a mirage. Money makes us feel like we're in control, that we have power. And we think I can do a whole lot of things if I just had more money. But Jesus is saying, you can't extend your life. You worry and you toil over getting more money and more stuff, and yet more money and more stuff will not elongate your life. This control that you think you have because of your money, it's a mirage. So when something goes wrong and your money evaporates, your money is deserting you, you're not losing control. You're not. You never had it to begin with. The Lord is the one who controls our life. So he says, consider your life. But then he also says, consider the flowers. Consider the flowers. How they neither toil nor spin. Toil has the idea of working diligently to the point where you're weary and you're exhausted. And he's like, flowers don't do that. They're not straining to grow. They're not hoping that they have a beautiful flower and a beautiful color that comes from them. No, it's just them being. And God provides for them the water that they need and the sun that they need. Jesus even compares the flowers to a man named Solomon. Several months ago, when we were going through the book of Ecclesiastes, we talked about it in more details here, but Solomon is the richest man who ever walked this earth. One place we hear that he has more than 4 tons worth of gold. More than 4 tons worth of gold. And that was just like the pocket change for him. I mean, if the statement was true, more money equals more problems, and Solomon had more problems than any of us have ever had, okay? And yet, even having people that would custom make his clothes and to make them with all these different colors and have a whole array of different things to choose from, Jesus, like Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Now, I think this is God showing off as he talks about the flowers. Because think about this. Birds, this is a necessity. They need food, and he's providing food for them and water and all of these things. But a flower, God could have made them with no color, and they still would have done like their job, right? And yet, he highlights the flowers because God is to be trusted even in excess. Flowers didn't have to be made beautiful, but God chose to do so to show that we can trust him to provide in beautiful ways. In beautiful ways. And he even tells us, as the last illustration, look at the grass. Look at the grass. Few people really care about grass. There are some. There are some that love it, love to work on it, love to pull weeds. Some love it. But there are only a few of them. The rest of us walk on grass and never think twice about it. You just walk on it. And this is what Jesus is trying to help us see. One of the most insignificant things for most of us, grass, is important to God. The thing that we don't think about, the thing that we walk on and tread, Jesus knows and sees and provides rain to water it. This is his creation care. This is a creation care. And he says, comparing us to this grass, if God cares for the grass that we walk on, how much does he care for you, the one who's created in his image to display his glory? And the answer to that question is a lot more than the grass. So he looks at us and he's like, why do you have such little faith? If he provides for the grass, how much more will he provide for you? Oh, so let us consider these things. Let us think on these things and trust the Lord. Now, that's one of the applications. Trust the Lord. Now, for many of us, when we hear trust the Lord, what we think in kind of our churchy world or our churchy language is, well, then I just need to have like blind faith and kind of just step out there and I just got to trust in God. That's what Ryan is calling me to do. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. And that's not at all what Jesus is saying in this passage. Jesus is not saying just take a blind step of faith and hope something goes well. No, Jesus said consider. He said think. He said look around. Look around at creation, how God provides in a number of different ways. You look there. You set your mind there. See, anxiety is the absence of thinking. The lack of considering God will always breed fear and worry and distress in your life. And so Jesus is like, listen up and think deeply on these things. You see, when we start to think, our minds run a million different directions of what-if scenarios. Well, what if this happens? And what if this happens? We lay our heads on our pillows at night, and we're like, what if, what if, what if? And we're running all these scenarios, and Jesus is like, no, you're thinking on the wrong things. That's why you're anxious. That's why you're worried. Believer, don't set your mind on all the what-ifs. Set on your mind on the Lord. Expand your view of who he is. And instead of listening to your anxious heart, how about you speak truths to it of who our God is? Well, let us consider his care for creation. But Jesus also tells us that we should consider God's love for his children. Let us consider God's love for his children. Towards the end of this passage that I read, multiple times, Jesus calls God Father. In verse 30, he mentions God the Father. And then in verse 32, he says it. And it's interesting to look at how he describes the Father. Look